Let's read together John 18, verses 12 through 27. In these verses, we have the record of our Lord's pre-trial hearings, as well as Peter's denial of the Lord. John 18, beginning at verse 12. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Let's look at some background notes first of all. In the first section of John chapter 18, we had the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now we come to the pre-trial hearings of our Lord before the religious authorities. It seems that there were six stages to the Lord's trial. First of all, there was the preliminary investigation before Annas, and that's covered in these verses we've just read, verses 13 through 23. Annas was the former high priest, but he was set aside by the Roman authorities, and Caiaphas, his son-in-law, had been installed as the high priest. But Annas still carried a lot of weight. He was the high priest emeritus. He had elder statesman status, if you will. Many still considered Annas the real high priest. After all, being the high priest was an office for life. Now, this first stage of the Lord's trial is only covered in the Gospel of John. We see that throughout this first stage of the hearing, they could find nothing with which to accuse the Lord. In fact, we see in verse 20 and 21, the Lord actually challenges them to find something in his teaching, in his doctrine, that's subversive. Look what he says again in verse 20. "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I've said." So the Lord is indicating here that there was nothing secret in his teaching to be a threat to Rome, be a threat to anyone. Now, the second stage of the Lord's trial was the pre-trial hearing before Caiaphas, who was then the high priest. This second stage is covered in verses 24 through 27. Notice verse 24 again. "Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest." This is the Caiaphas that back in chapter 11, in spite of his unbelief, he had made a true prediction about the Lord's coming death, which is pointed out here in verse 14. "Now it was Caiaphas who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." This second stage of the trial was also at night, and probably both of these pretrial hearings took place in buildings using the same courtyard, the courtyard where Peter denied the Lord three times. The third stage of the Lord's trial was the official religious trial before the Sanhedrin. That's not covered in the Gospel of John. The Sanhedrin was the governing body of the Jews. But under Rome, they did not have the power to carry out the death penalty. And that's why the Jewish leaders brought Jesus to Pilate for a civil trial to see if they could get Jesus convicted of a crime worthy of death. So the last three stages of the Lord's trial make up his civil trial. There are two hearings before Pilate, covered in the last part of John 18 and on into John 19, separated by a hearing before Herod Antipas of Galilee, covered in Luke chapter 23. Well, so much for our background notes for this section. Let's move on now to our doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, spiritual leaders are not necessarily spiritual. Spiritual leaders are not necessarily spiritual. Annas and Caiaphas, as high priests, were looked on as spiritual leaders. They had the great honor and privilege of heading up the priesthood, being in charge of the temple of the Lord, the very temple that our Lord called my Father's house. Only the high priest, you know, could enter the Holy of Holies in the temple. These men were certainly looked on as spiritual men, but Annas and Caiaphas were not spiritual men. They were self-serving men. They led many people astray. Why do you think that so many people were able to call out, crucify him? Some of these very people probably had been part of the triumphal entry. What changed their mind? I dare say Annas and Caiaphas had a lot to do with it. The people looked on them as spiritual, but they were not spiritual. The same is true today. Spiritual leaders are not necessarily spiritual. Now, I'm not just talking about the Jim Joneses and the David Koreshes or the Jim Bakers and the Jimmy Swaggerts. There are many other illustrations that can be given here. Take, for example, the Jesus Seminar. The Jesus Seminar is a group of so-called Christian scholars who give their opinion as to what they think Jesus really said and what Jesus really did. They pick and choose from the biblical record. I'm holding up a book here entitled The Five Gospels. This is a publication by the Jesus Seminar. The Five Gospels, yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Gospel of Thomas. These scholars, so-called Christian scholars, have taken the Bible and kind of like a takeoff on the red letter edition of the Bible. Well, they've put in their Bible what they believe Jesus said in red. What they are not quite sure of, they'll put in pink. What they doubt, they put in gray. And what they are convinced that Jesus did not say, they put in black. Many people are being led astray by the Jesus Seminar because they look on these Christian scholars as spiritual leaders. But spiritual leaders are not necessarily spiritual. Even true Christians in spiritual leadership positions can lead people astray if they're not spiritual. I remember when I was a teenager, one of our Christian youth leaders was a man I greatly admired. We all looked on him as spiritual. I found out later that he was having an affair. He stumbled me, he stumbled a lot of Christians. Spiritual leaders are not necessarily spiritual. This is certainly a word for all of us here this morning. Whether we're spiritual leaders ourselves or looking up to other spiritual leaders. Don't be stumbled. Remember, spiritual leaders are not necessarily spiritual. Doctrinal point number two. There is a difference between a backslider and an apostate. There is a difference between a backslider and an apostate. A backslider is one who lapses in faith but does not reject the faith. An apostate is one who rejects the faith that he once embraced. Peter was a backslider. He lapsed in faith, but he didn't reject the faith. Three times denied the Lord. Verse 17, then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Verse 25, therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. And the third time, verse 26 and 27, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. And we know from the other Gospels that it was at this point that Peter went out and wept bitterly. This was the beginning of his restoration. We'll see the full restoration in John chapter 21. He was a backslider, but he was restored. Judas, on the other hand, was an apostate. Judas rejected the faith that he once embraced. It's not that Judas was a believer and then lost his salvation. Judas never was a true believer. He was a follower, yes, but not a believer. Judas was an apostate. Peter will be in heaven forever. Judas will be in hell forever. There is a difference between a backslider and an apostate. What about practical application? Are we warming ourselves at the fire of this world? Are we warming ourselves at the fire of this world? In verse 18, we read, "And the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Think of it. Peter standing around the fire with the very officers that had arrested and bound the Lord Jesus. Peter had been able to enter the premises because of the connections of another disciple that we read of in verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. Most likely, this other disciple is John. Now, what the connections were, we don't know. Well, you can read the commentaries here. You'll see a number of different suggestions. In any case, Peter is warming himself at the same fire where those who have rejected the Lord are warming themselves. One of these very officers strikes the Lord with his hand, as you see there in verse 22. It would seem at this point the Lord is handcuffed or bound. In any case, Peter is warming himself with these officers, those who have treated Christ with contempt. We say, how could he do such a thing? Well, it's certainly a picture of a believer warming himself at this world's fire, participating and finding fellowship with a world that rejects Christ. We say we would never do such a thing. Well, wait a minute. What is our reaction when our colleagues at work, for example, blaspheme the name of our Lord Jesus? What is our reaction when God and His Word are made fun of in the secular classroom? Do we speak up for the Lord? Or are we silent and go on warming ourselves at the world's fire? You know, I once worked for a boss in secular employment who would always close his meetings with an off-color joke. All of my colleagues would laugh, and I was expected to laugh as well. After all, he's the boss. Well, what do you do as a Christian in a situation like this? It's not easy. I remember one day saying to him, "Well, Jack, I guess that joke means that the meeting has come to an end." He said, "Yes." I got up and walked out. That was not easy, let me tell you. I didn't do it with a holier-than-thou attitude, but I just felt I had to do this because this particular joke, as I remember, it was a slap in the face to the Lord Himself. Are we warming ourselves at the fire of this world? It's not always easy to separate ourselves from the warming fires of this world. Let's ask ourselves this question, all of us. Are we warming ourselves at the fire of this world?